Yeah. Yeah, okay. Fallen and Tom. None. Oh, three. He prepared three. Never mind lah, never mind. Two of them enough. You can rest. Okay, yeah, let us get ready for puja. Today is the 12th. 11. Oh, 11. Yeah, 11 October, 2018, Thursday class. Okay. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Never mind. Relight the candle. Yeah. Go and light. Yeah. Sadhu, 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 Okay, thank you. You all can be seated. Yeah. So those who have gone to Shangri-La, the spiritual trip, the what they call, what you call this album, photo album, is ready. I think Padmasri and Bratio has done a very good job. The photos are very beautiful. So this on gathering of Kayamita Day also, you can see them. So in the meantime, I leave it here. Then later on, if you got time, you can have a look. Otherwise, you wait till that day. I also haven't really looked at it. And now. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. This trip, they compile it very well. We are all the dates, everything we do, the photos are all matching. Then I think because of Tony. Tony was very systematic. He never allowed people to mix his photo. So he day one, day two, day three. Then Brother Tio also very systematic. So for us, our WhatsApp, or Ruja. Okay, we are now prepare our mind to do the puja. Let us recall to mind all the sadha virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Arahang sama sambuto bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant the bandana. Namo tassa bhagavato Rahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu michachara viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sura meraya maca pamadatana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja offering of light. Ganna sarapa dittena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddang pujayami tamonodang ganda sambarayutena dupena hang sugang hina Pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana mutamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe Puje mi buddhang kusumena nena punnena matena cha hotu mokang pupang vilayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang adivasetu no bante Paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivasetu no bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang adivasetu no bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we are chanting the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this. Puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue and understanding shine far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which may be an offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born free nibbana. Making our overall aspiration, by the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merit to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity with them. Okay, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Now we will pay respect to Tripa Jama. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. สังหังปุจเจมิโอเค you can be seated we are off the light and you can have half an hour of meditation You just proceed, relax body and mind, silent everything. Then your spiritual faculty is already developed. Your mind will settle down very fast. You don't have to do anything. Always remember the natural state of mind before the mind stir or react is always silent without thought, the true silent mind. And that is your true mind.So relax, maintain awareness. This true mind will return. Whatever that arise and pass away, that is the thought, the thinking mind, the mundane mind. This one has its characteristics of impermanent because it's dependent originating. It's not intrinsic to your true mind. It was never there. They arise through ignorance, through delusion. When you lack the spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance arise. And when the mental hindrance arise, thought arise. All this sankhara movement, they will arise. Then the mental hindrance will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why you can't meditate. So if you understand this, then don't fight the mental hindrance.Work on the spiritual faculties. So if you have been a cultivator, your spiritual faculty should be very well established by now. The most important is mindfulness. Mindfulness is sati. Sati is the silent mind, the awareness before the knowing. When your mind is relaxed, silent without thought, it is already aware.You don't have to try to be aware. That trying is by the thought. You will never be able to develop it. So you just relax, let things be. If there is thought, let it settle down. If you are patient and now you will maintain awareness, neutral to whatever happened, the sankhara will slow down. The mind will return to its original state.Whatever that is dependent originating, they will cease to be when there is no more condition for it to continue to arise. So this one needs wisdom and understanding. So when you understand, meditation becomes very easy. But for most people, because they have not trained, they have not developed the ability to be mindful, the spiritual faculties are not there. That's why you...will encounter mental proliferation or mental thinking. The mind becomes heedless, think a lot because of your heedlessness. So this habitual tendency, they will continue to flow and the lack of spiritual faculty will allow the mental hindrance to arise. That's how you become entangledSo if you still want to meditate despite what happened, you should decondition this heedless thinking. And there are a few ways you can do it. The best way is the mind sweeping method. You just relax, silent everything. Then feel your forehead. If there is any tension, tightness or stress with it, you just relax, relax and relax. Soothingly relax.Then you sweep it down to your facial muscle. Do the same. Just feel, then relax. No more thinking. Then sweep it down your facial muscle. Do the same. Feel, relax. When you relax into it, all of the tension, stress within, tightness, they will slowly, slowly dissipate. And you become peaceful, quiet, calm. So mindfulness method train you in two ways. First, your mind can be trained to be at the location you want it to be. Two, you train it to be relaxed and just aware. When you don't think, just relax and allow things to be, then silent. When you relax and silent, your mind will return to normalcy. Then after that, to help you relax further, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. The moment you can smile, there is joy, there is happiness. Then naturally your facial muscles relax. Your entire body and mind will be in a state of relax. Otherwise there is no joy. So radiate love and metta, then rejoice. Then that radiant smile will really give you the very good mind state to radiate love and metta. Then you can recite the metta following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May this body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Then this metta you can read it to all your loved ones, to all kayanamitas within this vicinity, then also to all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen. Then you can extend to all the living beings within the whole of Subangjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth. Then extend to all beings within our solar system, our Milky Way, our galaxy. Then finally you can read it to all beings within the entire universe. Do the same. May all beings within the entire existence be well and happy. Well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness deep within their hearts. Then when you can do that, your mind becomes different, because this ability to radiate metta can bring about good mind state. Metta is universal love. And this love is well-being. When we recite, may I, may all beings be well and happy, when you radiate it from your heart, this well-being and happiness can be felt by all beings. Then your entire body, each and every cells, they will have this well-being within. Then there is joy. So after that, you can come back to your facial muscle. By then you are already relaxed, peaceful, with a lot of metta. Then you can sweep it down to your neck, shoulder, feel relaxed, hand, feel relaxed, then back to shoulder. Then you move it down to your heart area. This is a very important location within your body. This is where the heartbeat arises and passes away. This is where the seat of consciousness is. This is where your life force arises and passes away. When you can be aware of this area, you just relax and silence everything. Whatever vibration or your heartbeat, if you can feel them, you just completely silence your mind and stay with the movement, the vibration, or the heartbeat. Then relax. Relax into whatever mind state that arises. If you are new, not sensitive, then never mind. You just let it be. Then after that, like you feel your forehead, you feel your heart area. If there is any tension, tightness or stress within, you just relax, relax and relax. Feel it soothingly, relax. Then you sweep it down to your stomach, do the same. Sweep it down to your abdomen, do the same, feel, relax. Then your leg, your buttock, feel, relax. Then you sweep backward from your buttock, feel, relax. Leg, feel, relax. Then you sweep it up to your abdomen, feel, relax. Stomach, feel, relax. Then back to your heart area, silence everything and feel. You can detect your heartbeat or any vibration. You just stay there, silent everything. You can anchor it there. Then after that, you sweep it up to your shoulder, relax. Hand, feel, relax, back to shoulder. Then neck, feel, relax. Facial muscle, then feel, relax. Eye muscle, do the same, feel, relax. Then your forehead. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful because your mind just aware, feel, relax. It doesn't think anymore. By now, it should be more quiet, a lot more quiet. And when you are quiet, means temporary. The heedless thinking is no more. But this state of quietness or calmness cannot be maintained by a person who is not trained. So what you should do is, you should stabilize this awareness or mindfulness or peacefulness by developing a skillful means to anchor this awareness. That's why you need to be mindful of something. The best object of meditation is recommended by the Buddha, which is very neutral and suitable for most people, is breathing. Mindfulness of the in and out breath, the Buddha call it anapanasati. So you should use anapanasati to anchor your mind. So when you are developing this mindfulness of the in and out breath, it's just like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing. Maintain awareness or attention in front of the nostril, silent everything and just allow the breathing to go on naturally. Then the mind will detect the breathing. And as per the Buddha's instruction, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Just do this exercise, train. If you are new, you realize split second the mindfulness is gone, it's lost in thought, heedless thinking. But if you are patient enough, every time it wanders off, patiently bring it back. Don't become unhappy. Just accept the reality that the untrained mind is heedless, think a lot. You will do that. So silence your mind and bring attention back to your breathing. Then again, train. Breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. Not long, it will come to you. It will stabilize. Then as your anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath stabilize, you will experience a time of peace within. We call it the meditative calmness or peacefulness. In Pali, it's called piti. Piti is a spiritual joy, spiritual rapture, spiritual calmness, born of the mind that is mindful without thought, without agitation. It's just silent, mindful. The mind that is aware without thought is very peaceful. Then you continue to train, stabilize it, until your anapanasati become very stable. Initially, as you stabilize your anapanasati, it will become more and more strong. You can even enter into the state of absorption, born of continuous mindfulness. But whatever mind state that arises, sometimes become so calm, you absorb into a peacefulness. Then sometimes you may even focus at the tip of the nostril, without you knowing it, because the calmness is so strong. Then you need to relax into it, the four support, relax, then maintain awareness. As you relax, the breathing will become more and more refined. Then your anapanasati will become more and more refined. Then later on, this piti will transform. Piti will be relinquished. Then you will experience what they call sukhang, spiritual blissfulness of mind. Your mind become very blissful. Then you continue to relax and silent. When this piti leading to sukhang, the blissfulness of mind arise, you continue to relax into it. Initially, your breathing will become long breath. The breathing is like take a much longer time. Every in breath is like very long. Every out breath is like very long. And there's a lot of clarity. Like every movement, you are fully aware, very clear. Then breathing in, experiencing piti. Breathing out, experiencing piti. You will know. Then breathing in, experiencing sukhang. Breathing out, experiencing sukhang. Then this ability to be peaceful will help you to calm down all your bodily cells. Your bodily activity, even your breathing, everything become more and more quiet, more and more peaceful. Then these are positive mind states, which are very peaceful, very calming, very soothing. It will bring about positive mind state that will transform your what they call immune system. It will help you boost your immune system, because when there is no stress, the opposite is calmness, peacefulness, quietness. Then your health, your cells become healthy. Then when there is love and metta and well-being inside, your cells will recuperate. It's like receiving this what they call prajna from your breathing. It will help you to recuperate. Then after the meditation, you feel very fresh, alert, peaceful, calm, like you're energized. All these are the byproduct of training the mind. So as you continue to do this, your mind will become very quiet again, until the long breath also become transformed. Until the breathing become more and more subtle, until hardly any breathing. So you just train your mind until the mind becomes so quiet, so still. Then you will experience tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. And that is your meditative mind. That is your true mind. That is the one that can understand, awaken. So your purpose is to train your mind to hit this stage of pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. So when pasati arises, you just silent everything and don't do anything. Then even though the breathing like very subtle, you don't worry, you continue to relax into it and silent. And just continue to be aware of the very subtle breathing. If you are patient enough, your sati will become more and more refined. Then, not long, all of a sudden you realize your mindfulness is different now. You can pick up whatever movement within you. Even the subtle breathing is like you are able to be mindful of it. Then later on, even the internal breathing, you will be able to be mindful of it. It's like you didn't breathe, but there is actual internal breathing, very subtle. You continue to relax and silent. So when you hit this meditative state, you will be able to meditate and you will understand many things on its own. then you can see clearly who you are, what you are, how you function as a human being, how your consciousness and your sense bases, how they interact. You have your five physical senses together with the brain, the six sendor. Upon contact of mind with all these organs, it can arise the respective consciousness. Then you can also see how you input the content of consciousness. Initially, it's always based on your conditioning, your memory, your views, your opinion, your habitual tendency. So you will start to see them. Then you will start to see how your mind arises and passes away following dependent origination, paticca sammuppada and all those things. Then you will also start to witness all the essential dhamma within your own form and mind, the mental hindrance, the spiritual faculties, the four noble truths, the seven factors of enlightenment, and all the other essential dhamma that you have already learned. Okay, with this, I will let you meditate on your own. Then when the 30 minutes is up, I will ring the bell. Upon hearing the bell, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. You have to carry this trained mind state of sati or mindfulness and peacefulness into your daily life. Then you need to stabilize your daily mindfulness. Without a very stable daily mindfulness, you can never be ever mindful, and you cannot be heedful throughout the day. So the daily mindfulness is a prerequisite. You must develop it, train it, until it's a part of you. Okay, now turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gajandu Devata Sata
Sami Chipati Pano Sangho Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakkineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripuja. Bedang puja ini. Damang puja ini. Sanghang puja ini. Okay, you can be seated. Just relax body and mind. And maintain some form of attention. Eh? So tonight we got some very, I think, interesting topic as requested by Sister Kiet Hun regarding how to prepare yourself as a Buddhist from the Buddhist perspective. How you can prepare for your for the death of your loved ones. Then the second one is, as a Buddhist, what is your understanding of the concept of death? What is death? Who die? What really is death? That one is very important. Then the last part is, as a Buddhist, how do you conduct the funeral ritual? Or what do you do during funeral, the weekend, all this thing? These are the three questions you ask, isn't it? So you have been very kind, you ask on behalf of a lot of Kayamita who might want to know. But before we go into that, I didn't finish last Thursday on. I just sent out the short notes. I think you on it, 27 September, the previous Thursday, where I only managed to finish the first part, our 27 September 2018 Thursday talk outline short notes. So this one is a very useful short notes. We only managed to finish, I think, the first part. What is heart and what is mind? According to Brother Theo, this is a very difficult topic and very few people can truly comprehend. In Mandarin, the same word "sing" is being used for both the heart and the mind. Mahayana tradition teaches two types of mind, the mundane mind or the thinking mind and the true mind. So if you understand this, means you have good understanding. Then sincerity is related to the conscience. The conscience has got no evil roots or even any cunningness. The heart as an organ is special as it is related to the conscience. Reason why cultivator always say follow your heart and not your deluded thought, which is your mundane mind. The heart is where the seat of consciousness resides. The karmic force trigger off the light force and cause the heart to beat, giving rise to the pulse of life that pumps our blood to nourish our entire body. So this is something you have to understand. And the brain is where the memories are, and as thoughts or the mundane mind are response to memory. Hence the mundane or thinking mind is closely related to our brain. The consciousness since birth is trapped within the physical body that has the five physical sense bases and the brain. That's how the sixth sense door come about. upon contact of mind with the sense bases, sense door consciousness arise, like seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, and thought consciousness, etc. So sense door consciousness can arise or can manifest. You need to understand all this to penetrate the mind and the heart and to understand who are you. This is what meditation is all about. When you are able to be mindful, silent, fully aware, you will understand the two are different. You will see clearly the mundane mind is dependent, originating, not real. They are not intrinsic to your true nature. They are not part of your true mind. They are byproduct. They come and they go, dependent, originating. And they need accumulated memory to give rise to thinking, thought process. Then go to number three. Life force or karmic force, they come from our karmic nature. When destructive karma hits, the heartbeat stops. Form and mind separate because brain dead. And we call this death. The life force energy can be used to pump the heart, to make us conscious, to sustain life and give rise to consciousness, thoughts and emotions. It can also be used to access the gateway to one's nature to bring about internal transformation of consciousness. We are trusting our nature to meditate without the interference of thought. The three things that sustain human life are consciousness, the physical body, and the life force. A functioning physical body is needed to sustain life, but when some vital bodily organs are damaged, then consciousness cannot stay on. Body and consciousness need to harmonize, just like the energy of a car and the driver. If car is not in proper condition, the driver also cannot drive it, just like candlelight's energy. It can only light up with these three important conditions sustaining it. The wax, which is equivalent to the physical body, the wick, and the candlelight. One needs wisdom to be able to live life well. To understand oneself, one needs to understand the consciousness, the physical body, and the life force. The mind is linked to the brain because brain is memory, and thoughts are response to memory. Thought consciousness come about when mind consciousness makes contact with the brain. Before one develops the wisdom via meditation, this brain is hell, because one will act according to memory, which are all of your accumulation of your good and bad experiences, including your views and opinion, belief system and delusion, etc., which is equivalent to not acting at all. Most of the time, the accumulated experiences are your negative psychological memories. That is, your scars of memory, your fear, your worry, anxiety, phobia, sorrow and lamentation, and insecurity, etc. Human beings want to be secure and safe in life. The one thing is a craving, which is all part of their delusion. Nowadays, the world seems to be less safe. Human beings seek safety or security. Hence, their insecurity is the root cause of their own fear, worry, and anxiety. One should instead act according to wisdom, following Noble Eightfold Path. When you understand with right view, following Noble Eightfold Path, you will understand how this existential function and operate. It's all based on nature's law. That's why you have to understand them. And the Panchaniyama that the Buddha taught, they are all there. So according to the Buddha, the highest security or only safe refuge is taking refuge in the Triple Gem. The Buddha is perfect in virtue and wisdom. Thus he has the Dhamma. The Dhamma is his teaching. The Sangha are his enlightened disciple, and thus also have the Dhamma as well. With the Dhamma, one knows how to cultivate, following the advice of the Buddha, to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. One must thus take care of karma and develop wisdom. Hence, the highest security is virtue, and virtue is your highest protection. If you want to have the good and happy life, do not break the precept. For do good because good, and do evil because evil. Without fear, your mind states are peaceful, calm, and secure. There are no worries or insecurity as you have faith in your own nature, both karmic and spiritual nature. That's why when you take care of karma, you got nothing to fear, nothing to worry. Yeah. Karma take care of yourself. Then you take care of your cultivation, which will help you develop the spiritual nature. Then when you connect, you can inherit them. Virtue is the highest and best protection. If you take care of karma, karma will take care of your life. There is nothing to fear. Whatever that happens, there are causes and conditions behind. Hence, what happens is the reality of the moment. It cannot be otherwise. When you act according to memory, which are your accumulation of wrong views, tradition, belief system, conditionings, and the three evil roots, you are in fact acting according to your fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, selfishness, etc. Instead, you should act according to wisdom and understanding. With right view, you can act following Noble Eightfold Path, which is the path that leads to the end of all suffering. Then the law of karma. Law of karma refers to a few important aspects. The most important one is the Buddha's fifth daily contemplation. He said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. So whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions linked to karma behind. Therefore, act with wisdom. We are not blaming others or yourself and not getting angry or fearful. As one knows, it's all karma related. No point being miserable over what happened. Accept the reality of the moment. As most likely, you have done this to others in the past, and now with condition, you have to go through it. Thus, you are at peace. Have clarity of mind to understand what has happened. Then you can act to resolve things amicably, the Dhamma way, and move on. Yeah. When you do not lament, blame, or do all those foolish things, yeah, then your mind is always peaceful. Yeah. Number 10. To resolve something amicably, we need to apply Noble Eightfold Path. Right view leading to the arising of right thought, right speech, right action, etc. Following the advice of Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. Develop wisdom to comprehending the law of dependent origination, or dwelling, to understand how you function as a human being, how this mind functions. And the other essential Dhamma or teaching of the Buddha, like the Four Noble Truths and its three turning, other related essential Dhamma that spin off from there. You will know how to act because you will know what dukkha is, the cause of its arising. Knowing that suffering need not be because cessation of suffering, which is realizing the enlightened state of Nibbana in the here and the now, is possible. And the path to realize it is through cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path. There are two types of mind, mundane and the true mind. True mind equals to silent mind or the meditative mind, which is your true nature. Mundane mind is your thinking mind, conditioned arising, dependent originating mind, the monkey mind, which is heedless. Then number 12. Meditation is to get one to realize one's true mind. Master Hui Ning's teaching is to bring one directly to the true mind. When you silence your mind, your true mind in pure awareness will be able to see how the mundane mind functions and operates, and insight into phenomena to realize the three universal characteristics of nature, anicchang, dukkang, anatta. Then note number 13. Due to ignorance or avijja, thinking or sankhara activity start causing the mundane mind to arise. To cease avijja, one needs the Dhamma, the right view, or wisdom to straighten one's view. Without self-delusion, sakkayaditi, one will understand that the former mind is impermanent, dependent on originating, hence not you. Then the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion cannot arise. Number 14. This evil root arises due to one's self-delusion, believing that this former mind is you and real, or exists, causing the I, the ego, or personality to arise. With the deluded ego wanting to own things, possess and control things, grasping and clinging arise, giving rise to this evil root of greed, which includes selfishness and greediness. As you think you exist, you can also become emotional, angry, jealous, which are the evil roots of hatred, and insecure and fearful, which are the evil roots of delusion. Note number 15. When you can see that they are all conditioned arising, dependent originating and causal phenomena that arise when the supporting conditions are there, then you will awaken to or insight into the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering and non-self or anatta nature, which are inherent in all things within the conditioned world. Then you will understand clearly why this body and mind is not you, but merely a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for you to come to this existential world of ours. Note 16. Thus contemplate daily that this body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. No amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring about the dead. It should bring back the dead, not bring about the dead. No amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the dead. Bring back, that word. Remind me to amend it. I will amend it. Nothing actually die. He know you, he know me. No mark of a self cultivating, no mark of others, and no mark of even Dhamma, existence and life. This penetrative understanding from the Diamond Sutta and Heart Sutta will bring forth the wisdom needed to live life beautifully within the existential world. When you understand all this, you become very different. 17. Human beings tend to follow their mind or their thought, which is the mundane mind, instead of their heart, which is the conscience. Thought is neither good or bad. It depends on the use of thought. Thus, one must know how to use thought. With Dhamma, thoughts become right thoughts, which are rather beautiful. Without wisdom, these thoughts come from memory, which are filled with fear, greed, and delusion. Hence, no conscience, no sincerity, no virtue. On the other hand, with conscience, sincerity, and virtue, one cannot harm others. But for human beings without wisdom, the cunning, deluded mundane mind takes over, not knowing that there is a true mind. But when you understand all this, your mind is beautiful. You become different. Number 18. How can the heart, an organ, have a conscience? Here you listen, I explain. The life force pumps the heart. That's how your heart area receives the karmic force or life force. The final link is for one to come to this existential world. One needs a form and mind or the vehicle and tool to come. The karmic force and mind that comes due to karma resides within the heart. The gateway to your true nature is also within your heart area. That's the reason why when you are in the natural state of silence, without thought, your true nature or conscience around your heart area is sensitive, and it can truly feel with pure awareness, and is very sensitive. But very fast, your mundane mind take over and cause you to doubt. When one meditates with understanding, one will come into contact with one's true mind. Then when you continue to relax into all mind states and silence everything, your nature will be able to detect the gateway and melt or flow soothingly into it. The true mind is also your conscience, no evil, no ego, thus anatta. This true or silent mind, which is connected to the form and mind, can meditate and cause one to insight into phenomena or awaken to truth, reality and all nature's law. This wisdom, which is then connected to this form and mind, can cause the form and mind to be enlightened. But this present life segmented form and mind of your nature is not you, because it is anatta. Number 19. Every living being has this true mind, that is the conscience, which is inborn, which won't do any evil. However, most human beings don't understand what that is, and they tend to override it via their thoughts or mundane mind. The heart is the conscience, the gateway is inside the heart. Hence the famous quote, follow your heart. For example, when one goes looking for property, your nature knows if you feel comfortable and good with the place before any thought comes in to delude you, then you can buy the property. Only when you feel good, you buy. With Dhamma cultivated, every day is an auspicious day. Without the Dhamma, an auspicious day could also turn into an inauspicious day. Your heart or conscience comes from your nature's understanding and wisdom. For those unenlightened, they can hardly perceive their conscience. Even if it arises, it can only guide them for a while before their thoughts or mundane mind comes in and take over. Then note 20. Bratio was able to explain all this was because his nature understand, and all this sharing from him are not from any book or other source. Today's sharing is a true gem covering the whole understanding of life and the cultivation. To understand this Dhamma, cultivate Pariyatti, the learning of the teaching, first phase of Dhamma, is not difficult, not that difficult. But to realize it, we are putting it into practice. Patipatti, second phase of Dhamma, is more difficult and it takes time. When one awakens, then one can get to realize Pativeda, the third phase of Dhamma, to live the noble life of an Arya, an enlightened being, and one gets to enjoy the fruition of one's practice. What makes the world turn or goes round is love. Here, love is not universal love. It is craving, attachment, possessiveness, emotion, lust, and passion. When you have craving, your thought will develop craving to own and have things, leading to strong willpower to plot, scheme, deceive, and violence. By hook or by crook, you need to have it. But with Dhamma, you can't do all those things. Those normal, deluded living beings like to do. Example, you are not greedy for money. You are not violent. You don't take advantage of others. You don't cheat, deceive, kill, or harm others. You can't do highly excitable and crazy worldly things, etc. With Dhamma, you can still be part of life, but the inside is already so different. You won't be so excitable like normal people, as there is clarity, heedfulness, and understanding, or wisdom, that enable you to understand that all these are not real or what you think. When you have this wisdom, your mind and your brain is different, and you are very sensitive, because you can sense and feel many things. You will come to understand why living beings are really living beings, and they are rather deluded because of their ignorance inherited from their past karma or karmic past. And there is nothing to be pity about, because they are deluded. They would do foolish things. People are just the way they are. Foolish people do foolish things. Deluded people do deluded things. And crazy people do crazy things. Of course, wonderful people do wonderful things too. With this understanding, you can become a blessing to all. You are so different, so beautiful. And you are always at peace. Have such beautiful mind and understanding, always heedful, joyful, and contented. So this is what you can become. Yeah? Yeah. So not everything is suffering. Don't go and believe all those doomsday sayer. When you don't have Dhamma, then everything is suffering. But when you have Dhamma, everything is so beautiful. Yeah? You have understanding. You are so heedful. Always full of joy and contented. Mm? Tranquility of mind is always there. Calmness, peacefulness, heedfulness. Mm. There is so much joy in everything. Mm. Because no more delusion, no more misery, no more suffering. Not 22. Brother Teo share, it is because he went through life and he understands deeply what fear, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation are. He saw how people suffer and he witnessed a lot of suffering during his young days. He contemplated deep into his life when he was young because he was unique and different. He had a strong conscience to not harm any living things. And when he did try to drown a mouse, he got his payback karma very fast, getting sinus. He further shared things we do due to ignorance in the past will come back to haunt us when there is condition. And this is what karma is all about. And with wisdom, one cannot do any harm to anyone. But before you connect to your true nature, you can still make mistakes. But because of your unique spiritual and karmic nature, when you come, your karmic nature vows and your understanding will prepare you because you are different. You will know you are different and you will understand somehow. When Brother Teo was young, he too had this very strong feeling to sense that he was different. But at that time, he can't understand what it is, means the full picture, until later. But as he grew older, he witnessed how things unfold so beautifully and naturally. In the year 1986, via a special message from one of the great beings, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Brother Teo started his cultivation sincerely and diligently. Then when his form and mind connect in the year 1989, everything became very clear. During those 3 years, 1986 to 89, the teacher come, the guide come, the book come, message come, and his understanding and transformation kept unfolding. Since 1989, his nature and his nature's understanding had become so strong, and life was so meaningful and wonderful, just like what is stated in the Heart Sutta. True emptiness is wonderful existence. All this understanding of the karmic and spiritual nature and other nature's law, especially the law of karma that Brother Teo has shared with us, are not documented in any book or anywhere. Most cultivators also cannot understand unless they have that type of cultivation and nature. Matthew shared that karma is only stored and linked to our karmic nature. And when his present segmented life form and mind came to this world, it can sense and see all the unique signs and happenings occurring when he was young. And that was the reason why he knew he was different. Later on, as he grew up, and when he has developed the condition to receive and inherit all his past cultivation, then he saw how all this unique thing unfolding very naturally, like it is meant to be, as if everything has been planned and taken care of already. It is as if my nature doesn't have to do anything apart from just accord and flow with nature's condition as they unfold so beautifully. Speaking from his own experience, Brother Teo shared that once his meditation enables him to connect to his true nature, this wisdom and understanding kept unfolding or arising. The karmic nature starts operating upon conception of the beings, our five aggregate of form and mind. But our spiritual nature is different because before you connect to your true nature, you cannot inherit anything. But the moment you connect, you will progress very fast because you will start to inherit from your spiritual nature immediately after that. One progresses very fast from then on and can reach back to their previous cultivation level from their past life very fast. Once connected back, the cultivator will continue his cultivation from where he or she stopped in this lifetime. When you have touched your true mind and realized your true nature, you will be able to access the gateway to your nature. The only way to do that is via cultivating the Bodhisattva way. The sainthood way is still very elementary, not as complete. Equating it to a handful of leaves versus those leaves in the whole of the forest. The sainthood way is only a handful of leaves, that is mainly the Four Noble Truths and its Three Turnings teaching. The Bodhisattva way is so much more comprehensive because it involves the cultivation of the Ten Perfections over a long period of time, especially the paramis on perfection of wisdom. The Bodhisattva way is therefore definitely not easy, but it's rewarding and very, very wonderful. Then note 24. Sister PG shared what happened to her this afternoon while at work. When negative mind states come into play, she was aware and mindful of it. She was trying to key into her ways the address of her destination somewhere in Puchong, but it could not be done and time was running out. She can see her impatience building up because of her wrong thoughts conditioning. As she was driving, she reminded herself to be heedful and mindful and not let any negative mind state set in. She was very careful when driving. As she was very mindful, it helps her to brake on time as another vehicle swayed into her lane suddenly. Everyone in the car was shocked or froze. Brathio further shared that when one is mindful, one is able to avoid conditions which could lead to negative karma arising. Note 25. When you take care of karma, karma will take care of your life. Nothing protects other than your virtue, kindness and wisdom. When one cultivates the Dhamma correctly, one can see the changes happening for the better in one's life. Personality-wise, character-wise, and understanding-wise. The way one lives one's life is very important. After all, our wrong views, especially self-delusion, have been rooted out. Sensual desire and ill will also dissipate. When one is heedful with the five spiritual faculties developed, the opposite five mental hindrances would not arise anymore. People are just the way they are, the world is the world, so just let things be. This is right view. Whatever happened in life, do not panic, do not arise the fear, worry, anxiety to stir your mind, to arise mental hindrance of mind that will hinder your mind from entering the meditative states of inner peace and inner awareness. And also don't be reactive or emotional. For this activity will only create negative condition for negative karma to arise or ripen. Without this understanding, when things don't go your way, you will become angry and agitated because your thought via your wrong view will tell you to react with negativity. What needs to be done is to not believe those thoughts. Calm yourself down. Then with clarity of mind, do the needy to resolve issue amicably via the Dhamma way, which is Noble Eightfold Path. Note 26. Brother share that whenever he is in a situation, he will never perceive it with negativity, but instead accept it as a life reality with right view, and then take it as a blessing in disguise for him to learn from it. He will use his understanding and at times his common sense to finally resolve the issue at hand amicably via the Dhamma way. Then you can laugh over it after that. Note 27. After the mundane mind has collapsed, he shared that the cultivator will have to learn how to use that supramundane mind which is so fine, like no mind inside. And you hardly feel anything. And like there is no movement at all. This mind is so different from the mundane mind, which is still very gross with a lot of images. It is much easier to train the mundane mind to be mindful or aware because it's grosser. But after it has collapsed, there is like nothing at all and no mind to train, so like nothing to do. You need to understand how to handle such situation with wisdom, or you will end up having unnecessary problem again. Relatives share that there is a tendency for most cultivators who have progressed to be deceived by the thought again after a period of cultivation. Don't listen to the thought, because this is the mundane mind that has duality. Instead, silence your mind and go back to your nature to develop the understanding. Only the nature or the silent mind can see things as they are to awaken. But thought is useful when there is wisdom. When wisdom is already a part of you and it has stabilized, you can then share your understanding with others. And then thought becomes beautiful. Everything is beautiful. Today's Dhamma sharing is due to condition from Brother Suyan's question and the higher consciousness among some Kayamita who can understand what Brother Teo shared. Progress in Dhamma cultivation leads to more understanding than one is able to use it in real life. Dhamma understanding and virtue can protect those like Sister PJ. She was able to avoid the condition for negative karma to arise. With Dhamma, one feels blessed. With one's virtue developed via correct cultivation, one is protected, giving rise to favorable condition to avoid any severe karmic condition or friction. If you don't take care of karma and you are heedless, you get entangled in situation and problem leading to suffering and misery. But if you cultivate sincerely, you will find your life changing for the better. This is for the individual cultivator to find out. When this happens, your faith in Triple Gem will be unshakable, especially their faith in the Buddha and his teaching. This free teaching is a true gem, so do cherish it. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, that's it. Then we can go on to our tonight's topic by Khiet Hun. So, who want to try to answer the first part? From the Buddhist perspective, how do you deal with your loved ones pending death? You read the actual wording. Read. You're Christian, yes. Now I can rub. After I finish the sharing, I can rub this off. The heart and the mundane mind, these two, they are different. You have to understand them.
What is the... Sorry. Hi. So the question that I would like to ask is, what is the Buddhist perspective of one preparing for one's loved one's death, two, the concept of death, and three, the ritual during funeral?
Okay. Right. So the first one is
The first one is preparing
Buddhist perspective.
For preparing for loved one's death.
Actually, you should face your second question first.
The second question first. Second question is the concept of death.
Unless you understand the concept of death, you don't know how to prepare.
True. Agree.
So as a Buddhist, as a cultivator, after going through all this Dhamma study and cultivation, what is your understanding of death? What is death? No need, don't. Well, I need to use them. That's why not easy. Rub also must plan. Cannot simply rub. And there are some has been here for years. Okay, what is death? You better try. Otherwise, I realize you all don't learn. No? Yeah, everything you depend on my answer. And when I give you the answer, it's very precise. But you assume you know. That is very, very bad, and you will never learn. Very good. First, death is just separation from. Oh, this one not put in the ink yet. Put already. Maybe. Oh, this is a new one. Need to shake. Otherwise, the ink cannot come out. Separation of. Oh, no. Didn't. Consciousness from the form. I think didn't really put in. Never mind. Yeah, I used the blue one. Can see or not? Can see, So, Padmasiri say separation of the consciousness from the form. You remember the three things that sustain life? What are the three? You must have a karmic force is the last one from your karmic nature. Come and pump your heart. But there is a consciousness trapped inside your body since birth until now. You understand? So that content of consciousness, which is this one. You see, your memories are your accumulation of experiences, good and bad. So all your phobia, your fear, your views, your opinion, your whatever thing that you accumulated, they are all here. That's why we always say human being is nothing but a bundle of what? With its views, opinion, accumulated conditioning, that is what you are. Understand? So when you are brain dead, you lose your entity. You lose everything. Sometimes certain part, like they call what, stroke. Then certain part of your brain affected. Then you lose your ability to function. It depends on which side, left or right. So you realize human being is not real because they don't know how to use consciousness. They don't understand what consciousness is. But to arise consciousness, you also need the brain because the brain is where the memory is. Without memory, thought cannot arise. Understand? That's like that consciousness that is like trapped inside. Initially, like I explained to you, the rebirth consciousness is just one pure consciousness. That's the reason why the baby, when they are conceived and when their senses starts to slowly from the sperm and ovum, the cells start to subdivide. Until the sense bases are there, then the heart, then only the consciousness go in. So when the rebirth consciousness go in, that is just the very, very, I won't call it primitive, very simple rebirth consciousness, understand? You know what is consciousness, no? What is death consciousness? Before you die, there is one consciousness. Sometimes it's already totally beyond you because you are no longer conscious. Karmic take over, understand? This one is the karmic consciousness already. Means you are not yourself anymore, understand? The karmic consciousness take over. That's why you don't hope before you die. Last minute, no thought, you become enlightened. Forget about it. Because the karmic conditioning take over. In the Tuesday class, you go and listen. Death proximity karma. That type of karma will arise before you die. And what are they? The thing that you constantly do. Good or bad. You very, very good at scolding people, punishing, torturing people, or the wrong livelihood. You will behave like those creatures that you harm and kill. then if you do a lot of nonsense to people, when the close proximity karma take over, your conscience will develop that type of fear that you do to people. So you kill a lot of those chicken or the animals or whatever. You will behave like them, Manasa, no? Oh, before they die, that fear and all those things. So this habitual tendency will take over. Yeah. But if you do a lot of, like anti-tana last time, you do a lot of katina, a lot of dana, they call dana queen, they call her. You know, when she was in the hospital, when the consciousness changed, means she's not herself already. They say lao huan xiong. Huan xiong already, you understand? You are not behaving like yourself already. You know what she was telling people at the hospital? Here katina, there katina, everywhere katina. Because she did a lot of those things. Auntie Tan, that passed away recently, he is a president of BMS. The wife of the president of the BMS Society. Last night at Brickfield, they are very, very active. He started the lady section. What is the name? She started the lady. A lot of ladies follow her also. They got one, like Dharma friends and that one. They do a lot of wholesomeness. They raise funds for Reverend Mahinda's whatever. Then they raise funds to do dana at many places and all those things. And she lived until 90 plus. 93. I think somehow your Kayamita know her. So things that you habitually do, it will arise. Then that time, because she got so good parami, a lot of people wanted her to recover. No? So they came to Brickfield Temple. I remember that time I was still at Brickfield. They asked for Bohi Puja to share marriage and transfer marriage to her. Ingbi Wen Ho. Ingbi helped a lot of people do at SGPA. Hey, you know that day. Well, I know her. When I heard the announcement, my nature that time connected already. Very strong. So I was full of joy and I already did that. Then when I was doing it, I felt something very strong, very powerful. Then I knew she would recover. Then the news came back after we did the Bohi Puja. She started to regain consciousness, come back to her normal self. Then she survived for very long after that. Easily another 20 to 30 years, I think. 20 over years. Hey, this Bohi Puja is very powerful. You know how many of us there on that time, Brickfield? A lot, after the Sunday talk, I remember. Not like that. Oh, no. There must be condition for things to arise. Mahathir know how to take care of his health. He's a doctor. You don't have to worry about him. His mind is very strong. He will stay on. No, he's very strong. Actually, at this age, not easy to be a prime minister. I tell you. Full of stress. But he really has the willpower. He wants to do this. He wants to see this through. He is no ordinary being, I tell you. He came with a mission too. These are great beings, but for a different purpose. To be a leader. To lead the world, to lead the country, to lead the consciousness. So you need all this because the Dhamma is such, all the conditions must fall into place, otherwise it cannot happen. That's why I say Malaysian, we are very blessed because we got the Parami. I tell you, without him, there is no way for this change to happen. And without him, we already going for bankruptcy soon. Our ringgit become banana currency again. Japanese banana currency again. I tell you, don't laugh. I tell you, it's a real blessing. That's why when it happened, there was so much joy. So a lot of things, when you understand, is different. What makes me talk about this? I have to come back. Yeah. So you say try to think of good thing and all that. Cannot. Because the death consciousness, you are no longer in control. Karma take over. There's a close proximity. Karma. Death proximity. I don't know what that's the word for it. That type of consciousness will take over. Yeah. Then you cannot decide. The only thing that can avoid all this is meditate. When you are heedful, aware, you don't have such thing coming over and take over you. Your awareness will be there. When it happened to me when I was, I think, 9 years old, yeah, I got no fear, nothing. Actually, I died. But my awareness was there. That time, I don't know what is meditation. I don't even know Dhamma.
What do you mean you say you died?
My consciousness came out and I cannot go back to my body. Then I cannot go back to my body. It's not to say it never came back. Finally, I know how to do something that I managed to go in. But when I first came in, I cannot take control of my body. The body was not mine. Totally cannot take control. Then that time I was so young, I don't know what is it. I said, what is going on? So I was very determined to go in. Then don't know what, I just did something, pop, I went in. Then first thing I want to check is what I saw when I was up there. My brother walked into the room, say something, he was doing something, our bedroom. Then he went out. Then when he was going in, I called him, he cannot hear me. Then when he walked out, I called him, he also cannot hear me. Then I realized my body was down there. Then I want to go in. I know without the body I cannot go, cannot move, cannot even do anything. So I went in. When I went in, of course no sound. I couldn't take control of my body. The body was like not mine. Actually, I died, but meant to be. I just know what to do. I went in. Then straight away, when I regain consciousness, take control of the body, first thing I want to do is I run after my brother and ask him, did you just now went in and say all this and did all this? He said, yes. How did you know? He said, you were sleeping like a log. I was so tired because I play until my whole body drained, until no more energy. Then I came back, I remember, at the bed, I collapsed on the bed, I was so tired. Then I straight away, like, rest. It's very funny, you know, as I rest, my craving force all gone, dissipated. But there was not enough physical life force energy. I think that time the heartbeat also didn't beat, I think. So I saw my craving force dissipating. It was for me to understand. That time I don't even know it was craving for. But there is a force that binds your consciousness to this body, trap it inside. You cannot come out. It's a craving force. There's an energy. Then I saw it dissipating. Means it loses its grip on this body. Then it dissipates. Like this craving force, no more. Then suddenly the consciousness come back as one. The three areas of consciousness come back as one, then it come out. Actually, I died. The silver cord also not there. Most people experience is astral body went out only. That one can come back anytime. There's an energy line that link the consciousness to the body. Means you didn't die, because that cord will bring you back. That's why they go astral traveling and all those things. Because there is another mind that go out. They call it the astral mind. Not our astral. Don't try to get the concept. You can never understand until it happened. You don't even have a chance to know what happened. So what I'm trying to tell you is, if you have awareness, the close proximity karma wouldn't happen on. You will know how to die. That's why I know if I can do that when I was young, after I have understood all this, is kacang putih, no more problem. When I went through 2013, the NGO and all those things, I also went through one phase. They call it kipa. Yeah. Where, you see, every human life or life, you have various type of kip at different age, different time, because of your karmic past and all those things. Then this form of mind has to go through one asana. Yeah. Then for me, my mother also happened at that time, around the age of 80. My brother also collapsed in the toilet at the age of 80. My mother heart attack straight away, cold sweat, everything, heart, that I think, sharp pain and all. So he got all the what they call the sign. Then straight away admitted. See my classmate, then he advised a heart attack. Give me a letter, admit straight away. My brother collapsed in the toilet. Luckily, my sister-in-law was very, very alert. He said, how come go down toilet for so long? That's why when you sleep, if your spouse go down, you better make sure after 5, 10 minutes or 15 minutes maximum, he come back. Otherwise, go down and check. My sister-in-law went down and checked and saw him fainted in the toilet. Luckily, he didn't lock the door. Fainted, collapsed. Then sent him to hospital, Kedah Medical Center. My elder brother was very lucky. There was one doctor from IJN, just transferred down there. He said, you need an angel straight away. My brother wanted to go Penang, because he thought Penang better. We are Kedah, a lot of bad statistics, because those type of doctor cannot. But you say, you don't worry, I come from KL, and I'm from IGN. So my brother say, okay. Because he said, you go Penang, not enough time. Right? By the time you reach there, I cannot guarantee you will be alive. Because he suffered a severe heart attack. Block.
No, brother, just now you used the word keep, you know. Sometimes you go bye-bye, they also tell you you got this keep.
Yeah.
And then they'll tell you, no, you just do this chanting.
That is what the fortune teller will tell you. Sometimes the medium will also tell you, but sometimes they also have some knowledge. Depend. If they really have their what they call, I won't say, but most of these are like, they want to help people, understand? So they like, they go and learn all these things, understand? Like fortune teller and all those things. So they learn all these things, then they want to help people, understand? But theirs may not be accurate, understand? This one, you have to feel yourself. You have to know yourself. Yeah, like I told you before, I admit to the hospital. 3 months before that, 3 months before it happened, suddenly, inside, through the nature, the warning came. You better go and check your heart and your artery. Then I make an inquiry. My nature is, if nothing happened, why go and check? Understand? The moment I say that, inside remind me, remember your mother? 60. Your brother also 60. And that time I was 59 plus. Oh, I say like that. Okay, when the sign come, I admit. I just say like that. Then 3 months later, exactly, the sign came. Then I told my wife, self-admit straight away, call ambulance. Because when I felt it, normally I go back, I lie down, I meditate, I recover. That day, the moment I reach home, I want to lie down and meditate. The moment I lie down, before I can even start doing the meditation, the attack come again. Yeah. But it's not painful. I didn't sweat. I just felt something inside there not right. Yeah. Not right. Then I straight away knew. I told my wife, call the ambulance. So the ambulance came. You know. That guy came down. He looked at me. You know. I walked out to my house. You boleh jalan ga? Because my wife say, heart attack, jantung. He said, you boleh jalan? I said, jalan boleh lah. So admit. So when I was there in the hospital, they checked me, they do an ECG. I got a heart attack actually. Because I was aware. And I don't really feel it. But the ECG show up. There was a, what they call elevated angina, they call it. Anybody familiar with the medical term angina? Is it? Not engineer, no. A-N-G-I-N-A. Angina. Yeah, no, not to say something like that. Abnormal elevation. So immediately after that, they jabbed me straight away. But actually when I was there in the hospital, when they were doing the ECG, I felt I was normal already. Because I was okay already. Then after they jabbed me, I felt so peaceful. Because they actually caused my blood thinning, all those things. They jabbed me, all those things, for your blood to have the blood thinning and all those things. Then it's for cholesterol and all everything. So after they did that, I asked the doctor, near New Year, I said, can I go back after this? He looked at me, He said, we have to wait till the heart surgeon come, he said. That means the head. He said, then after a while, I still asked the young doctor, I said, can I just decide to go back? Because that afternoon, you remember, your Kayan Mita, we were having lunch, I don't know what, is it? Then I didn't turn up with Yun Chan one, you remember? 213, before New Year. After I asked the second time, the doctor came near to me and said, do you know you had a heart attack just now? You have to be hospitalized at least 3 to 5 days. I said, okay. Now I understand. Message very clear. Then I call Yun Chan. Then I say, you go ahead. So that was what happened. So after that, I felt a lot of things. That's why I know it's a keep. It can actually modify your consciousness. But because I have the number, I know what is happening, and I was fully aware. That's why I know how to go through the whole thing. Actually, my artery was one of the 100% blocked. And the doctor said, you're not supposed to be talking to me now. That was 6 years ago. Not only clear, I'm so much healthier than last time because that thing is gone. No, because that keep will come on. Everybody will face it on. Then I remember when I was in the angel, supposedly 1 hour plus, I ended up almost 2 hour plus inside there. Then the doctor asked me, you okay or not? I say, mentally very strong, okay. But physically, I'm very weak. I say, I completely drained. I can endure, but physically, I don't know. Then after I finished the whole thing, they didn't make me that Milo drink or whatnot. I need food, that time. The night before, I fasted. The morning, supposed to be the angel, somehow delay until afternoon. Because I think there was another emergency or what then. Afternoon only I went in, about 2 o'clock or what. Then almost 5 o'clock only I came out. Then when I came out, I was so weak. I almost collapsed in the toilet. My wife was there, my daughter was there. And when they called me out, I know I was aware. But I can't say anything inside there. Then I wait till the consciousness is more stable, but I was very weak. Then I told my wife, don't worry. Ask them to make me a Milo drink. Then after I drink the thing, I got energy back. Then my consciousness stabilized. Otherwise, I go into the meditative state. I will sleep inside there, rest. I was fully aware. The consciousness doesn't affect me at all. In fact, there was a lot of conditioning. A lot of things happened. Then it let you feel how the body, when it's tired, exhausted, it go through that phase. And you can know, it's like any time that form and mind can separate.
The consciousness is not a thought.
Consciousness is upon contact of mind with the senses, it arises a consciousness. Understand? That's why you must listen to the Tuesday class. Yeah. A full consciousness has 17 thought moments. Then, in between, there are 7 determining thought moments that decide karma. Yeah. So your death consciousness is shorter. I think death consciousness got 5 javana only instead of 7. Yeah. There's only 5. But the bulk of it is avijja, ignorant. Then straight away it conditions rebirth consciousness. What I'm trying to explain to you is, oh, I have to speed it up. It's just one consciousness, understand or not? And that consciousness, because the baby has don't have a brain that is developed. No conditioning, nothing. So it's a like a rebirth, pure consciousness. Not really pure in its sense. Pure in the sense that it's very innocent, understand or not? Or no cunning, no nothing, because no content inside there. But it is coming, understand or not? Because it's a rebirth consciousness, born or ignorant. From there, it go over. Then immediately, this consciousness inherit the karmic, born of his karma, head of his karma. So the karmic nature straight away come, the powers of life, everything. Then this consciousness start to develop inside the fetus as it grow inside there. Yeah. Then it receive the food, the nutrient from the mother, the umbilical cord, and all that. Then it start to grow. That's why it has its own heartbeat and all that. Then when it is born, it starts to cry, grabs the air and all those things. Then you feed, then it grow. Then you condition them, teach them. So the brain start to develop, understand or not? Then after that, you send them to kindergarten, send them to school. Then nowadays you got social media and all those things, handphone, all that. So all this condition them. Last time our time is newspaper, yeah? Radio, TV and all those things. So now it's different. So all this will mold you, condition you. But your karma is the bulk of it behind. Then all this develop into a very complex bundle of memory with its view, opinion, conditioning, accumulated fear, phobia, everything. This is what you are. Understand? So this is a very sophisticated consciousness trapped inside, understand? So this one can actually give rise to contact and create seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, thought. Yeah. But you need the heartbeat, the powers of life, the life force. This life force, if it don't come, you cannot function as a human being. But this is energy. Send the blood. The moment it pump, the consciousness goes into the blood. That's why this blood go all over your body, especially your organ, it nourish them, every part that the blood can reach. But because this consciousness life force come, this one, it has its consciousness. That's why it goes into your bloodstream. That's how you can be aware. Everywhere there where there is blood, you can be aware. You understand? Yeah. So this is how it happened. So this pulse of life is actually life force. So like just now in the notes, what can you do with it? Yeah? This life force, energy, what can you do with it? Apart from pumping your heart, sending your blood around, what else can you do? Use. You have to use it in there. You forgot what I told you. Yeah? You can use it to arise consciousness, understand or not? To be conscious of things. Because this is like your power bank, understand or not? Life force. So this one can actually be used. When you know how to meditate, I have used it before. The whole of this life force, I can just switch it off, go into my nature. Completely, almost 100%, 90 over to 100%, go in. When it go in, it will activate the movement inside. Yeah. During that time, that's why my nature transform very fast. I progress very fast. Yeah. But most of the time, human beings don't know how to use this. This one sometimes pump until you got high blood pressure. Because you got stress. You don't know how to you are not sensitive. You don't know how to actually calm yourself down. You don't know how to develop the ability to be peaceful, to be quiet. Then when this one pump, most of the time you use it to arise your thinking, your thought, understand, your emotion. So a lot of thought energy is wasted. So this life force energy, you hardly use for proper use. You can use it to meditate, to develop your nature. Yeah. But most people allow it to arise, yeah, and just disappear. Because they use it for thinking. Then they use it to develop the fear, the phobia, the whatever emotion. So this one takes away a lot of your life force energy. That's why when you think a lot, when you have a lot of stress, worry, anxiety, you are very tired. You are drained, completely drained. Yeah. But when you are in the meditative state, you recuperate and like you recharge yourself. They call it rejuvenate. Yeah. You like charge up. Then you become very calm, very peaceful. And like you have rested. Then you become very fresh. Yeah. Then you have clarity. Then your mind state very different. So this is what your consciousness inside is all about. As it becomes sophisticated, this is the one that come out. You understand? Separation of consciousness. This is your bundle of memory with its conditioning. So this is what I call the random of consciousness. This is the consciousness that remains inside. It has to come out. Because your physical body, the form, it cannot support it anymore. First, when there is no more life force, your heartbeat stops. Consciousness cannot stay inside. Why? Because brain dead, like I mentioned just now. The blood cannot nourish. Then your heart fail. Your organ all fail. Then this consciousness inside, no use. Because it cannot give life. It cannot allow this physical body to function as a human being. That's why the condition no more. These three things. When the physical body is destroyed, also consciousness have to leave, like the vital organ. Your heart stop. Yeah? Or your brain damage. Or certain kidney or liver. Those who cannot cancel everything. When that one fail, you cannot get rid of toxin. All your other organ also gone. So all this is part and parcel of what the human entity is all about. The three conditions that sustain life. The moment any one of them no more, then this consciousness has to leave the body. So when this one leaves the body, this consciousness leaves the body, this is what they call the... how to spell? Random. E-M. R-E-N. M or N? Malaysia. Then? N. A N T. Random of consciousness. This one will come out. Because when I was 9 years old, this one floated up. This one came out. I was fully aware. I saw what happened. Then this one came out. Yeah.
The person who's going through death, is there a belief that they will have this image of not a gutao belly, not like coming?
There is no such thing as belief. I told you the karmic consciousness take over. You understand? You know what is karmic consciousness or not? Karma decide. Karma take over. So if you are a Christian, that's why they say they will see God. Because it's your conditioning, your belief system. That's why consciousness is a magician. So if you are Chinese with the rite and ritual tradition, believe gu tao bei bin, then everything is like gu tao bei bin to you. Understand? Because you live in constant fear. That fear, the fear of death, the fear of the unknown, the fear of your belief system will haunt you. Understand? Yeah. Then the Tibetan Book of Death, worse. Yeah. He say when you die, the four elements will collapse. You don't know what the four element. Earth element. You know what is earth element? Pathavi. Earth element means whatever that has solidity, like your bone, your flesh, your teeth, everything. Understand? So this is earth element. Then water element? Blood, urine, mucus, tears, whatever. Then wind element? Not only your breath. Wind element means everything that gives you the chi to stand up straight. Understand or not? Without that chi, you cannot stand up straight. You need the wind element. Then, heat element to maintain the body temperature and all those things. So these four elements, the first one that go is what? Sure wind, no more breath. So the doctor always check. No more heartbeat, no more breath, they sign. You are dead, medically dead. So wind element go first. Then after that, no more heartbeat, nothing to nourish. No more life force, the heat will disappear. Then when the heat disappears, you know what happens? The pathavi or earth element, they will start to degenerate. And when they degenerate, when the consciousness is trapped inside, you don't understand. You already die. Understand? Everything is in darkness. Like you say, everything is like manifesting good, how we have been, and all those things. So when this thing happens, it's like major earthquake happening. Because all these are magnified before your consciousness come out. So that's why there is a lot of fear. Then they say they go through a process like hell and other things. Then there is a flash, very fast, show you everything that you have done in this life. Forget about that thing. That's why I say these are conditioning. This is nothing to do with belief. Understand now? This is what is being conditioned in your mundane mind. Then it manifests as karma. Understand now? The karmic take over, make you like real. Because you project your thought, understand? You have that fear, that phobia. Then your religious label and belief system will create things and manifest things. That's why you are no longer your normal consciousness. The karmic consciousness take over. And all this is karma already. So for normal, non-cultivator, you cannot decide what happened. You cannot say before you die. That's why the Tibetan got a type of teaching they call Poa. You know what is Poa? P-O-W-A. P-O-W-A. They teach you how to die. They need a very experienced teacher, you see. Then they guide you before you die. They say, you must do what, you must do what, you must do what. Then got chance to get enlightened during that stage. I don't know. This is what they believe.
The art of dying
now. No. It's not that. Nothing to do with that. This one, the Powa, is supposed to be a highly trained type of skill. For me, forget about it. Because when it comes to that moment, if you have not prepared yourself, don't hope for the best. Don't try to, Or when you want to, your stomach got problem, you go and build your own toilet. Sure, not in time. You're not supposed to do all those things. When you cultivate, you develop the ability. Then when you have awareness, mindfulness, you will know how to die. No need, all this karmic close proximity, karmic consciousness won't come and disturb you. Won't. Because the awareness that nature is beyond the mundane mind. And you will know that this is not real. And this one will just come out. This random of consciousness will just come out. And when it come out, as I say, this one can see and hear everything except he don't have a physical body. Understand? So don't think your mother-in-law cannot know. Everything you say, they hear. Understand? But don't panic. But they got no more physical body. They can actually, out of anger, create fear in you. They create eerie feeling. The rebirth consciousness is gone, but this fellow, because of attachment to this world, like, you call ghost lah, it's not ghost, it's just consciousness. And there's also a lot floating around. But there's also a lot, they call it the non-human. And so non-human means take birth in that state. Like go kui. You know why it's go kui? Hungry ghost. Certain type of spirit. They are in that, what they call, rhyme of existence. So this one come out, but most people has fear. So when they come out, they still don't know what is this. They will call you, Hun. You cannot respond. You cannot hear them. So you still cry. Oh, it's such a thing. Nothing to do with belief, one. I already told you. That is all your. No, that is all your conditioning. When you hold that, before you die, all this will come out. Understand or not? It will manifest because of your fear. Why do you need all this?
How do I lose everything? Maybe this is how I come to where I am today, right?
That's why I say, when there is sacrality, self-delusion, you will think you lose your loved one and all those things. You think all this belong to you. That is a fallacy. That is attachment, clinging, grasping.
We are talking about the remnant of consciousness now.
That one is not you. That one is this thing, balanced, left over. Like you burn a log, the fire no more already, smoldering. That smoldering is the random, understand? After a long time, all this smoldering also gone, understand? The fire is completely extinguished. This one, when there is no more attachment, this random consciousness, it will separate, it will disperse. The worst is, you wait until nobody you know already, understand? But everybody die already. Then?
You live too long.
Not they say you live too long. Then your attachment, your will, your desire to live is no more. Understand? Huh? Then everybody don't know you. Call people also no respond. You can only talk to the same random consciousness around you. Then people tell you, hey, you die already. Yeah. Then you ask, what you mean? Last time we also like you. We also want to contact them. Or cannot. So they will tell you. But this is in another rhyme. But if you are mindful, sensitive, you can feel them. They are around. Yeah. You can sense them also. Yeah. Don't try to know. So death, what I want to tell you is that second question, death is just separation of consciousness from the form. No reality. As far as the Buddha is concerned, this is dependent origination. Condition arising, causal phenomenon. No reality. Impermanent, not you. They go the way of nature. Separate means gone. So when you understand this, you come to the first question. What is the first question? You still want to prepare for their death and other things. That's why you have the Buddhist teaching. The Buddhist perspective is take care of them, love them, teach them the Dhamma when they are still alive. Understand? Don't wait till they're about to die already. Prepare chohi, understand? What for? So you say prepare for them to die, but most of the time is prepare for yourself to feel good, understand? So that you don't have remorse and all those things. Because you don't understand all this. So you worry you do the wrong thing. So you say but all these questions come from delusion, understand? What you need to do is to understand that nothing die, no one die. If it's just like that, so why do I worry? But you cannot don't do anything, understand? Because there is karma, understand? There is such thing as filial piety, love. So express your love, your filial piety, and your whatever gratitude towards your loved one, your parents or what, while they are alive. Understand that? Then after they pass away, like the Buddha say, you do what you have to do because you understand. Yeah, the Buddha also said, no amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the dead. So no need to cry. Understand? Then all the ritual. What ritual are you talking about? Even if you got money, don't have to spend the type of money. Understand? But if you think that the wake, to notify relative and all those things, you think that you need to do all this, then you can. It's nothing to do with right or wrong. Understand? It's just 交代, and 高代, understand? No need. All those are not. You just go through the Buddhist thing and now with the chanting and all things. And these are very cheap, very minimal. Understand? Then you go for cremation. Don't go and buy expensive coffin, think that it will give you more merit. Forget about it. Because once you go into the incinerator, it just burns. Why you want to spend money on all those things? Then the ashes, why do you worry? Well, these are elements. The consciousness has left. Even when the consciousness is inside, he is not really what you think he is, understand, or she is. Your loved one. Law of karma recognizes relationship. Apart from that, it's empty. It's like this form and mind. He know you, he know me. This brother Theo, yes. Wait, pass the mic over. What is Columbia? I have to ask you. What is that? Oh, the urn. If you want to have faith, you want to develop the filial piety, you can. You can put the ash inside. Then put it into a place where they do the chanting and all those things. I mean, filial piety is like you make offering in their name. Understand? You can buy a place where they do the chanting.
Didn't
on. Yeah, buying for themselves, correct.
So
because the one that hasn't died also need peace of mind.
They're selling.
It's not cheap.
Exchanging hands, you know.
Yes. It's like property. It's like property. Buddhist practice. No need to practice anything, because you have to understand what is death, that's it. Then you have to understand there is a law of karma. So I will summarize quickly. Law of karma is you have to do your duty. Duty towards your loved one. Can be your parents, your children, your spouse or whatever. Your duty. Duty means you really care for them, love for them, provide for them. And do what is proper. Means no selfishness, no evil root, no negativity. So when you do that, you have fulfilled your duty. When it comes to death, there is no reality. It's just separation of this. If you need to talk to them, you talk to them. And you say this consciousness is no longer the real entity. Even when it's trapped inside, it's not you. It's dependent originating. So this one will, what they call, disperse finally. But you can talk to them, no problem. You can explain to them you have already passed over. So the Chinese got a good word, yi ming liao. You have migrated, immigrated. So migrate to another realm. So this one is no longer you. So this one, you say, if they want to continue to roam around and do whatever with it, they can, by all means. Understand? But ultimately, it's not real. Well, they don't have a physical form. They can't do much. But if they want to listen to Dhamma, rejoice, all, they can. No problem. Understand not? But this one, the best is, if you have awareness, mindfulness, you can die. This one can do a lot of wonder. This one, you can use it to do a lot of things. But you don't have a physical body. Understand not? But I can't tell you whether it can go into another body or not. That one I cannot tell you. Unless you have that ability.
So the Chinese
that one is to appease yourself. understand? If that consciousness is still there, they rejoice, and they will go and like tell people, "Hey, my descendant, they come and make offering. Yours got come on it." Because they are still deluded, they compare. So I always give this analogy, like you from kampung, last time, let's say we are from kampung. Then our children grew up, we send them to big city or study. Then in the kampung, they will ask, "Hey, your daughter how? Your son how? Graduate already? Working already? They got send money back to you or not? They got visit you or not?" Then you pretend, got lah. But then you see people come home, buy a lot of things. Then they very proud. This is my son, they introduced to the whole kampung. Then you think, my son, why never come back? Every time busy. So it's the same in the spiritual world, understand? They will compare. That's how you do all the chain bang, they will be around. Understand? If that random or conscious is still around. Definitely. Then they hope. And 1 year you didn't do, I tell you, you better. Yeah, it's not the ashes, it's the consciousness, understand? Andrin, no. The ashes got no more consciousness inside, it's not him or her already. You think you throw into the river, got it on them. This one will be in your house, I tell you. No, they go to their loved one. They will come back to the place. That's why in the Tirokuta Sutta. You read through everything explained inside there. You must think of them.
Think of our relative and past.
No, have gratitude towards them. Then their soul, not soul, their consciousness, their animal consciousness will be at peace. Understand? Because they know. That's why I say they can hear you. Then you can say, you tell your mother-in-law, "Thank you so much. All this while you have been taking care of all this so much." I tell you, they will be very happy. Their soul will be at peace. But if you say negative thing about them, they can get angry with you. Understand? They can send energy.
But in the Buddhist concept.
You don't confuse yourself. That rebirth consciousness is gone, long ago gone. This one is inside, come out. That's why the Tibetan tell you there is a Bado state. You heard of Bado? Bado means life after death, immediately after death. So they say 49 days, a lot of them tell you. After 49 days, gone. Then the first 7 days, they will come back. Forget about all those things. This one immediately come out, immediately around you already. No need to wait for 7 days to come back. This one is around. That's why this one, sometimes they didn't die, they come back. They can tell you what the surgeon did to them. They were up there seeing. But most of these that can come back on is where the silver cord is still connected. They haven't really. Near-death experience, not death experience. Near-death, they call it NDE. Yeah, understand? Okay, I better finish off quickly. So this one, once it leaves, according to the Buddhist teaching, these are all not real. But you can actually send metta, express your gratitude or whatever to make them peaceful, understand? To give them joy. Then ask them to listen to Dhamma, develop joy, sadhu and all those things. But this one, you can use it. My nature know, I will use this to explore the universe. I will travel with this, if I have the condition. But this is not me, but this is the tool for you to use. But this will disperse. This will disperse. So there's a lot of things I told my last guy. I say, my mission this life is, when this one come out, this one will go and find out a lot of things that scientists cannot understand. It will go to the star, the sun, and all those things. And you will explore everything in this universe. But this one, with the awareness, with your consciousness, you can use it, can manifest. But whether it can come back in another body or not, I cannot tell you. Because because this one is not easy to understand. Depend. If there is no more craving force, it will dissolve. It will go. Yeah. But if there is still unfinished business, it can last very long. I tell you. Yes, because through anger. Understand? Through anger. Then it can send cold fear in you. That's why you feel chill. In the Tirukuta Sutta, God mentioned eerie feeling. Everything. You think so easy to understand death. But don't panic. This one got no physical body. It cannot do anything to you. You actually can stare at them. Why you run? They got no physical. They cannot whack you. They cannot do anything to you. You can radiate love and metta. You just talk to them. Express your gratitude. Expression of gratitude is very important. Because you make them feel good, at peace. That's why I recall to mind all the goodness. That one all in the Tirukuta Sutta. Next day, I will read through for you all to understand. Then the other thing that the first question, you know, while they are alive, do your duty, feel of piety, everything. Then when it comes to death, the ritual and all those things, no need complicated, no need expensive. Respect your family members' wish. If they are Christian or what they want to do, up to them. You do your part, your fill of piety. You do those thing like make offering in their name and all those things, then share merit, transfer merit and all those things. You can do all these things. Yeah. But what other people want to do? Because the parents don't belong to you alone. If they respect you and let you make the decision, then well and good. Otherwise, you just leave it to them. You say, I respect your decision. What you want to do, you let us know. We discuss. Through consensus, we come to an agreement. Then all this will be resolved. Then don't have to spend unnecessary money. There's a lot of people, they say, this money, they donate it. The pakam they receive, they donate it and all those things. And do something wholesome in the name of the disease, which is a lot better. Then like Angie, he asked about the colambrum. You can, if you can appease your mind and make you feel good so that you can go to a place to pay your respect to your loved ones, to recall to mind and all those things. It's up to you. Well, all these are very conducive. If their consciousness is still around, if they know that you have put them into a special place, they go there, they got this music, the chanting, everything. Sometimes they play for 12 hours or 24 hours. Yeah. There's this music going on. I've seen a few places. And it's very conducive. Yeah. So it's a place where all this random of consciousness, if they want to roam around, they can go there. Yeah. And they feel the peace. They listen to the chanting and all those things. These are the things you can do. You don't have to worry about what people say. Your religious belief system is not important. Because once the things separate, they call death. But nothing die. No one die. He know you, he know me. So the Buddhist understanding will simplify a lot of things. The cleanest way is to just cremate it, finish. Then the ashes is up to you. Want to put it in an urn, a place where they can have this place to keep for you. You keep it. Otherwise, you can just like disperse it into the river. Then like Shenhua say, feed the ants. Understand? But it's no longer you. It's element. So make use of it. But sometimes they want the relics. Because if it's really cultivated or what, they have the relics. So the relics can give rise to good energy. So you can use them. Understand not? Relics also you don't know. 舍利子.
You're talking about the body, right?
When you cremate, there are relics inside there for cultivator. And the relics are very beautiful. You every time chant, Vandami Chetiyam Sabbam Sabba Tan isupatititang saririke. Huh? That one is really lah. Saririka. Yeah, from the ashes. So they call that relics. It's a object of veneration.
Mm.
Not necessary chanting. When you are cultivator, when you have virtue, there will be relics. Not correlate, it's relics. Yes. Relics. Oh, okay. So a lot of this thing, you will slowly understand.
Not too late to cultivate, right?
No, not too late. Okay, we better end. Getting late already. So maybe next Thursday or what, we will read through the Tirukkudal Sutta, then we will share a little bit more. Okay, we will now do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana itta wata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anamodantu sabasampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu. Yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can pay respect to the worthy ones, then we will end.